Thank you so much for joining me today on DallasBookDiva.com for my interview with Deborah Dozier Potter. We're talking about her wonderful book, Let Buster Lead. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Cheryl.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing really well today. I'm just so happy to be well and feeling good because not many years ago I was a total recluse, feeling awful, ruining my life, and that's what my book tells people about.
Well, let's give them a little overview of what the book is about, because I remember the first time I saw the title, I thought, huh? And it makes perfect sense after they understand what the book's about.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's Let Buster Lead is the title, and the subtitle is Discovering Love, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and Self-Assurance. But it's a story. It's a love story. I fell off my horse. I had a concussion. I broke 5 bones. My border collie, who I originally found at the animal shelter, he became the love of my life. He came with me everywhere. He lay down on top of me, would not let the rescue workers near me. After I recovered from the bones physically, I still was terrified of people touching me. I became absolutely terrified of any noise or anything like that.
Now, is that a symptom?
It is. It's one of the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, and I share my story with people. I didn't realize I had it until I was trying to find a way to make Buster my service dog. And Buster did become my service dog. He helped me get back into life. I was able to take him on airplanes and out in public with me and get out of my reclusive, frightened shell and get back into life because of him. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have discovered I had a disease that is curable, and I was able to get through it and get over it and get it behind me.
And you were leading, this incredibly busy life, and you had dogs and cats and animals that have always been a big part of your life, and Buster was in your life before the accident and was helping you to deal with some of the stressors that you had going on in your life prior to the accident. Is that correct?
Oh, he sure did. I mean, he became my companion and my lover when I was, we can elaborate on that.
Exactly.
The book is dedicated to people who had a dog or a pet who is the love of their life. And my husband and I were going through a lot of stress, very busy, high-powered, type A, traveling everywhere, out there with people. We were in the swirl. I felt lonely a lot of the time. And there was Buster to comfort me. He was there to help me relax. He was there to help me rise above my sadness sometimes. And that's what he was to me before the accident. And I enjoyed having him with me everywhere. I behaved better when I was with my dog.
I love it. He made you behave better.
That's
somehow
right.
It seems ironic.
He did.
Well, there have been so many studies done about the effects, the positive effects that having animals have on people, just in general. I mean, I've seen things where they have programs where they take dogs, cats to senior centers, and they talk about how it changes the way that the residents react. And one of the things that I've heard is that because animals are not judgmental, they love us, and they don't care about any of the crazy things that go on. They just love us because we take care of them and we love them in return.
And that love that they show us lets us know that we're lovable. I think that's the biggest lesson we get from the pets who love us, is that no matter how down on ourselves we are that day, we are lovable, and they remind us of that.
Let's talk about service dogs. Now, I have had, just tiny, tiny, not personal experience, but I have worked with a young woman who had a balance problem, and she had a Great Dane named Skye, who was her service dog who helped her with balance. Tell me a little bit about service dogs. There may be some of our listeners who really don't understand what that means.
A lot of people think you have to be blind to have a dog in public, to be able to go into a movie theater or on an airplane or in a restaurant or in a Kmart or Walmart or Target with a dog. Actually, assistance dog is the broad category for dogs who help people who have disabilities. You don't necessarily have to have a disability to have an assistance dog, but in order to be eligible to take them in public with you and be covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act, yes, you need to actually have a disability, which means that you have an illness, mental or physical, that prevents you from leading a normal life. And assistance dogs come under, there are different headings, of course, guide dogs that we know of for the people who don't see well, hearing dogs for people who are hearing impaired, therapy dogs for people who have special emotional needs, any other kind of personal emotional need where a dog can help them get through into life, and service dogs who do specific tasks. I have a friend who's paraplegic, and her dog Morgan goes and shopping with her and picks out items and, you know, puts them in her basket for her. There are dogs that ring elevator bells. There are dogs who answer phones. There are amazing things that service dogs did. Buster was my service dog only in the fact that he did some specific tasks for me when we went out. Most of the time, he was also my therapy dog, and I did not use him. I did not want to violate the law because it's such an important law. It really is a life and death law for people who really need to get into life and need that dog to get them into life. I was reluctant to violate the law because Justin Dart, who is the Martin Luther King to the people with disabilities, he's the one that really pushed the ADA law through. He was a very close friend of mine, and there was no way I was going to violate that. But until I was absolutely sure, Cheryl, that my PTSD was a disability, and there I was, you know, at a banquet, you know, somebody was coming towards me trying to hug me, and I'm going, you know, I mean, I was terrified. I couldn't believe the sound coming out of my mouth. And when I backed into a ficus tree, nearly knocked the thing over. But that's when I was absolutely sure that this had become a disability, and I really needed that assistance. Of Buster's assistance, and he was so happy to have a job and accompany me and do the work and protect me and be there and do the things he did for me.
Did you have to have him certified, Deborah?
There is no certification as far as I know. I haven't looked into this recently, but I haven't heard anything different about that. My website, letbusterlead.com, connects to other websites that will give people more information about service dogs. But there is no certification, and yes, people can train their own dog because each person's needs are so individual.
Sure.
I took my dog to a trainer for evaluation, and I write about this in the book. There's some really funny parts to that scene in the book. Just because I didn't quite believe this was true. You know, it just seemed too good to be true for
exactly.
me. And fortunately, I did, because the trainer mostly told me how to function in society and protect myself when I was confronted, as I was many times, about having a dog in a public place.
Sure. Let's talk about PTSD now. Post-traumatic stress disorder. You said a few things to me before we actually started doing the recording, and you gave some statistics that I had no idea about, and I thought they were stunning. Would you share some of those with us?
I certainly will. I read more about PTSD after writing my book. I didn't want my knowledge about the disease to cloud my experience. What I talk about in my story is what PTSD looked like on the outside and felt like on the inside to me.
Mm-hmm.
Traumas happen to everyone. Getting fired from a job, like me, falling off a horse, a divorce, changing locations, rape is way up there. Getting fired, I think I mentioned that. Any kind of industrial accident, accident at work. For children, changing schools is a trauma. 20% of people who suffer traumas, according to what I've read, the statistics I've read, I'm not a healthcare expert, but I've read a lot on this, 20% of them will get PTSD. Those are the ones who are diagnosed. I worry about the kids at Virginia Tech come this April when it's a year later. It takes about a year for the symptoms to kick in, the year after a trauma. And that's 13 million people, Cheryl, right now, who've been diagnosed most likely with PTSD.
And there is no telling how many people out there who are suffering, who have not been diagnosed and have no idea what's wrong.
And they don't know how easy it is to treat, and that's what's so important. It is so easy to treat. Let Buster Lead also leads people to where they can go for treatment. But yes, it's such a prison. It's such a trap. I mean, the symptoms, nightmares, flashbacks, persistent daily thoughts about a traumatic event. You know, if only I'd said this to him when he was firing me, that's kind of stuff. Or, oh, God, then he came upon me and emotional numbness, trouble feeling affectionate, that, you know, irritability, aggression, sleeplessness, hypervigilance, fear of loud noises. We all know somebody who, at least two people, about whom we say, ever since blank happened to him or her, he or she hasn't been the same.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And a lot of times these people, like me, they're afraid to go out. They're afraid to be around people. Day after day, I talked myself into going out. It wasn't that I said to myself, oh, I'm going to stay home for the next 6 months. Every single day I said, you know, I really would rather not go out today. I think I will just. And when I did, it was such an emotional effort to cloak myself in that emotional numbness and fear of being, in my case, being touched was just terrifying. It was just such an effort to go out and function. I have so many friends who've read the book, and they're saying things that every author loves hearing, which is, I laughed, I cried, I couldn't put it down.
Yes.
But so many of them who knew me well through all this say, and you're an amazing actress. We had no idea what you were going through. And so many people with PTSD, their friends have no idea what they're going through, and they're keeping it all in and holding it in, and that takes so much effort and so much energy. And they don't have to live in that prison. I didn't. I was so lucky. I got treatment and was determined to get well, and Buster, my dog, helped me get well. He encouraged me to get out and get into life and get over this. And it doesn't have to stay that way. There's treatment out there. There's help for everybody, for your for our own safety and the safety of our friends and families.
You know, that to me, what you just said, seems to be the kernel and the core of the book for me. And when people read the book, I would think that that is the message that they would take away from it. To seek help, a service dog is one option that's out there. That's a wonderful, positive option. And you've made a full recovery. I think you're a wonderful example of what getting treatment and having what's going on recognized and stepping out and saying, I know that I need to get help for myself, and here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. And you've made a full recovery.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I still have my moments when I'm tired, but mostly I can function now. I'm not afraid of myself. I'm not afraid of my own fear. And I can go out and do anything I want to do without being afraid of it.
Deborah, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you. Believe it or not, our time is up. And the book is just such a wonderful tribute book. And everything that your friends have said to you, I experienced as well. I laughed, I cried, I couldn't put it down. Thank you so much for sharing the story of you and Buster and your recovery with the rest of us.
Thank you so much, Cheryl.